Instagram and TikTok look nothing like television. Let me explain. If Entrepreneur Magazine right now on its Instagram or TikTok posted, you were not reaching your followers on Instagram completely like email. You were putting content into the interest graph. And there will be hundreds, hopefully for you millions, of humans who will see the content based on what we have shown the platform we tend to be interested in. You are eliminating the potential of consideration by not making content that will find its potential audience. We are no longer in social media, Jason. Interest media is here. Social media is dead.
Running a business means solving problems. I tell you how the smartest entrepreneurs do it. Hi, I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and this is Problem Solvers. If you want to master marketing in a social media era, this conversation is for you. I am talking with Gary Vaynerchuk. Of course, you know Gary Vaynerchuk. What you might not know is how deeply sophisticated he is as a marketer. Today, we are talking about some news at his company, some shifts that they're making. But after that, we get into the incredible weeds, get really geeky on how to think about the funnel today and how to structure a team for maximum nimbleness, maximum responsiveness, so that no matter what kind of brand you are able to communicate to exactly who you need to reach at the moment in which they are most likely to be listening. Fascinating, super detailed conversation. Really excited for you to hear it. Here's Gary. Gary Vaynerchuk, a man who needs no introduction when talking in the world of entrepreneurship. You bring me news today, don't you?
I do have some news. It's funny, a lot of people see me as a public figure, or speaker, motivational speaker, author, content creator, but I've been very feverishly building a very large marketing agency, holding company, and we're growing up over here.
Yeah, you sure are. And I know that there's some big news. Actually, wait, you know what? Before we even get to it, can I just pick up on that thing that you just said there? Because people know you as, they know you for your personality. They know you for your influence, let's say. And they don't necessarily know that you've built this incredible marketing agency. Something that I have noticed about the people who succeed the most in the world of content and ideas, and I want to say this to you to hear you react to it. They're not actually often content first people like me. I came up making content in magazines. They're actually marketing people. They're people who understand how to connect with audiences and then figured out how to build great content.
And I would say for me personally, I'm also an operator, right? Before anyone who knew who I was on earth, I was a child, literally a teenager, who started the process of building the largest wine store in the country. That's like real life. That happened. You know, and then obviously, you know, VaynerX, my holding company, started with VaynerMedia. We're about to talk about my beloved small business agency, Sasha Group, being rebranded to Chuck Media. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I mean, it's not gonna be long before I ping you and say, hey, do you wanna talk about VaynerX doing $500 million in revenue? We're on the doorstep. And you know, that's humbling, to be very frank, for a guy who has a lot of ambitions and bravado. Like, we've built one of the largest independent advertising agencies in the history of the industry, Mad Men, in the history of the industry, from like the most improbable angle. Like, literally, here comes a kid. I was 34, so I don't know. I think I was a kid, but I'll be respectful that not everyone thinks that. Here comes a guy who's making wine videos on the internet, and he puts a flag in the ground that he's gonna build a big advertising agency. Jason, I caught a lot of flack on Twitter. And the ad magazines were not kind about Wine Boy, Madison Avenue. And yet here we are 15 years later, and it happened.
Do you think that's because the fundamentals of growing that wine business are not actually all that different than the fundamentals of building any other brand?
Yes, comma. Mm-hmm. I built Wine Library because I was such a good marketer and I was a good operator and salesman, but I and like a good guy and had good retention of employees, all things that I used for Vayner. But what VaynerMedia is that you had a human that was outflanking everyone in contemporary marketing in the 90s and early 2000s when it was website, email, Google search, blogging. I built a firm that did contemporary marketing. Madison Avenue still does not do contemporary marketing. I've been doing this for 15 years. And now the day of reckoning is here. The people that are television commercial first, classic marketing, traditional first, the ones that are yesterday's digital marketing first, are being upended, feeling the pain, to the social first agencies, and we're the largest of that.
Well, then that's a good tee up for the actual news. So you said it a moment ago, but really unpack it here. So you've had this company, the Sasha Group, which has been focused on small business marketing, and it's being rebranded and also refocused. So tell me what's going on and tell me why.
There's so much demand for VaynerMedia. You know, it starts to get too big where it becomes not man. There's a lot of corporate. This is just very nerdy, but luckily this is why I think you're the right.
Yeah, we can nerd out right here, right now.
In the right place. This is business nerdy. Look, we're operators and we're strategizing and, you know, keeping so many brands under one roof is like challenging and has all different dynamics. It's kind of like sometimes you need to lose 15 pounds to get like tight. Like the concept of Chuck Media being another agency that's going to be just as big as VaynerMedia. Look, I'm no genius. This was done a long time ago. WPP and Omnicom and IPG and Publicis, they have many agencies that look similar-ish with subtle different strategies. And they've built very large holding companies and are all publicly traded. And we're building the next great, big, large, massive holding company. And Chuck Media is the next piece of that puzzle, a place where Fortune 500 brands can get the best contemporary marketing and a place where I can elevate a lot of my great talent. There's a lot of kids in VaynerMedia that I think are ready for the prime time, but we're big. And so it gets a little corporate and it gets a little slower to get promoted. And so a lot of opportunity for people to flourish in Chuck Media and just allows us to go to where I want to go to. I want to have the advertising agency that does billions and billions and billions in revenue as a holding company. And you need more than one or two agencies to do that. And so here we are.
All right, so we've got the Sasha Group, which used to focus on small business. It's being rebranded as Chuck Media and it's going enterprise. So now you're going large. And there are two things that I want to understand from you. Number one is why the move away from small business there? And then number two is you keep saying the word scrappy. And in the announcement that came out from your company about this, it emphasizes over and over again, nimbleness, that we're going to bring a startup attitude to these enterprise brands. So that tells me that there's something, even though you're moving away from small business, there's something about the nimbleness and scrappiness of small business that you think large brands are missing right now that you want to bring to them. Can you unpack that?
I can, sir. Number one, I'm a small business guy. So, you know, stay by for another text or email from us. Like, you might have another exclusive soon because I am strategically doing this because it's what I need to do. Mm-hmm. I have more deal flow and opportunity in SMB than I do in enterprise. So this is a strategic move to set up my next chess move. So we'll see how that plays out. And I, honestly, because I really do adore you and I just want to give it to you, I actually have three different things I'm working on that could scratch the itch of the SMB world. I'll have to figure out here over the next 6 to 12 months what I want to do.
Yeah. So that's that. All right. Well, you know who to call.
On the scrappy part, brother, I would say that, it's just, you know, I'm even laughing because whatever the comms team wrote you, A, I don't even know what it is. B, it's just so in our ether. Even, you know, VaynerMedia itself has more of an entrepreneurial spirit than your average Fortune 500 massive company. This is not lost on you. Every company takes the DNA of his or hers founder, right? Like, I am who I am. Like, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now that has a picture of the sweater my mom knitted me because my family couldn't afford a $25 Jets jersey and my mom didn't want me to feel left out when I was playing football outside in Edison, New Jersey. I am who I am. And look, don't forget, I'm sure not lost on you, Vayner Chuck, right? Like this is the extension of my last name that I'm very proud of and want to honor. And these are, at some level, they're identical twins. And in some levels, they're twins that don't look identical. What is that called again? Fraternal.
Yeah.
Fraternal. So, you know, I think that's how I think about it, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah. But let's go a level deeper there, because even though that is your DNA, and so that is the natural thing that someone is going to expect for and seek when they're going to be working with you and your companies, you're also making a statement here about what large brands need now. And I'll give you some context. I remember, I'm sure you do too, when the lights went out at Super Bowl, whatever that was, and Oreo turned around, that really fast, funny thing, everyone's minds exploded, because at the time it was very hard for large brands to move fast with marketing. Anybody who's been in a large brand understands there's layers and layers of review, and the lawyers have to see it, and it just slows things down. In a world in which if you're one beat behind, by the time you speak, everyone else has moved on. So there's something here that you're saying that brands need that they're maybe missing. And I'd love to hear you articulate that for anybody who works at a large brand, or frankly, anybody who's building a brand and wants to be mindful of how scale could possibly slow them down.
I cannot believe you brought that up. I brought it up last night at dinner with a bunch of CMOs. When that happened, I think that was 13.
Sure.
I, within 3 minutes of the tweet, not the aftermath, not the next, three minutes after the tweet, I could already see it moving.
The Oreo tweet, yeah.
Right. A, I wanted to find out if we did it, because we were working with Mondelez, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it wasn't us, but we were put in the mix of the war room. Two, I sent a company-wide email. Remember this? Sent a company-wide email 3 minutes after the Oreo thing happened. All in my entire email, like I often do, all in the headline. And it said, our company has changed forever.
Wow.
That was it. We had been preaching for 4 years about speed, volume, relevance at scale, social first, attention, contemporaneous, relevance leads to consideration, leads to purchase. Things are changing. I will tell you that that dream, that moment has been realized at scale. What I would tell everyone is this. I'm gonna go very, very nerdy. Here we go.
Please.
There's something called the mid funnel now in marketing. It's existed, we're redefining it. It's organic social media, Jason. Mm-hmm. Every company listening needs to invest as much money as humanly possible, cutting from every aspect of their business, to funnel into a production capability to make scaled social media content that is contextual to the distribution channel it's posting on, whether that's LinkedIn or YouTube Shorts, Facebook or Snapchat Spotlight, even extending into things like Pinterest podcasting and Substack. They must make that content contextual to the platform, both from a relevant standpoint, but also from a format standpoint, understanding what gives you the highest propensity to create organic reach, which is predicated only these days on relevance. The AI algorithms of these news feeds are written to understand if it is relevant to people and to continue to feed people at scale if it is, and not feed it if it is not, what I would call the interest media era, not the social media era. And that in the mid funnel, when you are fortunate to have something perform, then requires companies to send it down to the lower funnel, performance, and have media amplify that asset with a slight tweak to create CAC and LTV and ROAS, but also take it from the mid funnel when successful and send it up to brand land and consider running it millions of dollars amplifying an organic successful piece of content as if you would do a TV, and or, my friend, use it as the brief to do a campaign or something bigger. This, my friend, in 2 minutes, I just articulated actual, real life, 2026 marketing that the next influencer like Alex Earl or Cooper or Beast and every Fortune 5,000, not even 500, the private equity owned brands must understand cold, because demand creation is one of the last things that's going to be left in an AI universe as a competitive advantage, and whoever knows it best and whoever executes that best will win.
Now tell me how to structure a team so that that can actually happen. How do you make sure that you can go from idea to execution fast enough that you're still playing at the speed of culture?
whether you have a internal or external or JV structure. So we at VaynerMedia are obviously the agency of record for many people on this. There are some teams that take it internal. There are some teams that work in Vayner Collab, a JV with us, PepsiCo, famously. With Pepsi, we are many of the employees. There are many of the employees. Here's how you do it. You have a creative captain. You know, they used to say the throat to choke. I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, but the person in charge, right? There's a human on your logo who is in charge. She or he is the one. You need to build a production team, not a creative team. Not people pontificating ideas, Jason, in a room, slow, and then outsourcing the making. No, you're a production team that happens to do creative media strategy. You need a relevance strategist, something that we have that nobody else has. Humans that are paying attention and using AI and research and everything to understand what is popping, what matters, what is relevant to the consumers we're trying to reach, and how does our brand interact, inject, play with, jam on that. You need paid team, strategy team, creative team, all on the same team, not separated like every company does. You need a legal, if you're a Fortune 500 person, as a brand, part of the full team, in case you are a financial service, an alcohol, a fashion brand, lighter. They're worried about brand. You need a KPI, organic views achieved. Everybody judges everything on did it get views? The end. Not Jason saying that that's not the right color for entrepreneur. Like that's off brand. Not me pontificating. I got a big, no. Doesn't matter. Post it, understand it. This structure that we, you know, to your point, I'm glad you asked and you could see my passion for it. It's maybe even bigger than the thesis. We won. Chuck Media will win because we know how to operationalize our teams and how to give feedback to the clients. We have something called elephant meetings internally, where the leaders of our account must bring a client into a meeting to address the elephant in the room, because Jason, almost all of our clients, after hiring us to be VaynerMedia, ask us to be Wieden and Kennedy. They don't even realize they're doing it.
Yeah,
it's in your subconscious. It's in the inertia of corporation. I just, you saw what I just did here. We do that for 25 hours before we start with clients over and over different ways. And by the third week, they want to debate if the color is on brand. We're like, what are we doing here?
Right there. They naturally slow down, which means that you naturally need to be either pushing or setting those expectations.
They naturally go to television subconsciousness. Mm. Got it?
Yeah.
They don't realize that debating something in the conference room is more expensive than the content cost to make, and we can get insights from it if we actually post it.
I got to go back maybe 2 minutes in that really excellent outlay of strategy there and ask you to unpack strategy. Relevance strategist. I have never heard the term relevance strategist. I did not know relevance strategist was a job.
It's a job in one place on earth so far.
Right where you're sitting.
Yes, sir. We believe that brand strategy, which is what strategy has been commoditized with AI, with LLMs, and just has lost its value over time. We still value it, but we think it's done pretty quickly and easily. And then the next day happens. Like, it's not hard to sit down and say, you know, what does Toyota represent? Or what is, you know, Kmart? I don't even think they're in business anymore. But like, yeah. You know, like,
what
you know,
did they represent?
What did they represent? Or what does Marvel represent? Or what does, you know, Jaguar or Skittles or Raisin Bran cereal? I think it's, you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can get a bunch of people to make a subjective opinion. The question becomes, what happens next? And what happens next, my friend, is we have to make that just do it. They got there, right? Mm-hmm. And they nailed it. But I think you know this, just do it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And it's subtle, but it's all based on relevance. People that buy Nike Air Force One sneakers to be cool are very different than someone buying, you know, a running suit or a pickleball paddle to be high performance. You know, there's just so many different, or views Nike as the place where they go to the outlet store and get good $20 sweatpants. Like, it means, or the slippers that they wear for coolness, you know, the slides, or sure. It just goes
on. And Gary, you know, people don't know this, but I'm sure you do. that Just Do It, which now we associate with LeBron James, with the greatest athletes in the world. The first Just Do It ad, Nike debuted that slogan with a guy named Walt, who was like 80 years old and would run around San Francisco every day. That was their first, because at the time they were appealing to the average person, not runner. To the major athletes. Runner. That came later.
Runner. Average runner.
The average runner, right. Hyper-specific.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're really excited about Relevant Strategist. We're bringing so much value to clients. We're telling them things about their consumers that they have no idea, or opportunities that they never thought for their handbag. Or, you know, Chuck Media is very fortunate to have Subway as one of its early clients, right? Like, you know, what, there's so many things you think about, like very off top of head when I say Subway sandwiches, everyone thinks a certain thing, but what are things that we're not thinking about? You know, like, you know, the hardworking mom feeding a family, or, you know, like the 2 a.m. video game execute. Like, there's just, I could sit here for 40 hours of like things that could work that have not historically been done. And that's about the relevance, the niches, the things that happen in 1 second. The William Shatner's eating a cereal bowl while he's driving. Could he be eating a sub? Like, you start to get very creative. Some is very micro and fast. Others can be a 10-year thing. It's about being an and culture, meaning this and this. One thing, Jason, that you probably are aware of, given your perch, a lot of these brands were taught to represent one thing. Mm-hmm. That was a television first. It was expensive to make a television commercial. Of course you were trying, right?
Right.
We are now in scaled creative with this device. And so I would like brands to mean many things to many different people to actually have a big business.
Hmm. You know, that is a very counterintuitive feeling idea. And I want to hear you articulate how a brand can do that, because you just made the point about television. And yes, when television was your primary medium, it is a mass broadcast tool. You have to have a message that's going to just appeal to the widest possible audience. And so now I think, well, sure, you can segment audiences. You can start lots of different kinds of conversations. But, you know, if your primary channels are still Instagram and TikTok and, you know, a handful of other channels, that is still reaching your mass audience. So how do you start to be many different things when you still have roughly just a handful of distribution tools?
By realizing Instagram and TikTok look nothing like television. Let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
If Entrepreneur Magazine right now on its Instagram or TikTok posted a video or imagery of a grandma and granddaughter discussing startup life.
Mm-hmm.
When you post it organically, you were not reaching your followers on Instagram completely like email. You were putting content into the interest graph. And there will be hundreds, potentially, hopefully thousands, hopefully for you millions, but let's just go with hundreds and or thousands and or tens of thousands of humans, whether they are actual grandmas, actual 19-year-old women who have a grandma or were affected by their grandma, or even someone like me, a male who just likes family values and that kind of sweet stuff, who will see the content based on our relevance, based on what we have shown the platform we tend to be interested in. Understand that the creative finds the audience that may find this relevant. That, if you understand what I just said, actually forces a very important conversation that it is detrimental to every brand to make the same old stuff for social media, and that you are eliminating the potential of consideration by not making content that will find its potential audience. That is wildly different.
Let me state that back to you in a different way and see if I got it right. What you're saying is, look, we think of algorithms in many ways as frustrating barriers. I post something and I think, oh, is the algorithm going to distribute this? Only a portion of my audience is going to see this. But what you're saying is, no, there's another way of thinking about it, which is that every piece of content that you post has a specific total addressable market. And if you understand the algorithms well enough, then you can actually post on the same channels and it will be distributed to different audiences.
Yes,
and that
sir.
Way, you're actually utilizing your whole audience, but you're speaking to them in different, more targeted ways.
Your whole addressable audience that does not include your followers. We are no longer in social media, Jason. In fact, I might pitch you on a new cover for me. I haven't been on one in a while.
Yeah.
That might be like interest media is here. Social media is dead. We are in interest media, brother. It reframes everything. I built on email and I built on social media. Me. For, you know, let me just do the real math here for real quick. We're talking 20. Yeah, it ended up being 20 for 20 years from 97 to 17, right? Me was at the forefront of the email and social media follower era. Amass as much as possible, feed them good stuff for them, you win. I've also been at the forefront of the last 6 years of interest media. I was the human being yelling on social saying TikTok, 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 musically, even before that, because I also invested in Tumblr years ago, and that was interest media the first time I ever saw it. You followed interests, not people, and I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Mm, fantastic. Hey, Gary. Congratulations on this next phase of the journey. Really excited to see what is coming next for small business, as you had hinted earlier. So we got to talk about that. And just finally, I got to say, I love hearing you talk like this. I don't think people get enough of that from you because, you know, look, you're everywhere and you're often speaking to the masses. But to be able to drill down like this in this really hyper specific way, I think it's important for people to hear. And I appreciate you.
I'm humbled. Thank you, brother. Take care of yourself.
Hey, thank you.